You stand accused of having a big ass head, boy.
Incoming transmission. Engage house party protocol. Mark 4 powering up. Mark 17 powering up. Mark 44 powering up. All suits are online. Welcome to House Party Protocol.
Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me today is my good friend, Matt Baller. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, Will?
Oh, you know, it's going good. It's good to finally get you back on the show. I know you made a cameo appearance once before, and it's good to have you back.
Well, I'm happy to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, dude. And how has the quarantine been treating you? Have you been able to at least dip your toe in the MCP waters at all?
Not yet, but I did download the Tabletop Simulator mod, and they just released those solo rules for Ultron, so I think I might have to get on that this weekend.
Yeah, hey, you know, if you do, let me know, because then that'll be another thing for us to talk about.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? Maybe we should play against it. You could teach me on Tabletop Simulator.
Oh, man, I see. I like the way that this sounds, but I'm terrible at Tabletop Simulator, so I have a friend that would probably be a lot better at teaching you than I could.
Hey, you know what? I am also terrible at Tabletop Simulator. I tolerate it only because I cannot get games in any other way right now.
That's a true story, yeah. I have yet to actually MCP on the Tabletop Simulator, and for those of you who play TTS, and you know Flex over there, he has been begging me to get on for a while. He's a good friend of mine, and I just am like, I can't right now. I just don't have the time to sit down and play this game as much as I want to. Just how it goes.
The struggle.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just one of those days. You know, it's a good day. It's a good day. So the weather was super nice today, and we got some fun stuff. They kind of somewhat spoiled like a third of the Ghost Spider card on stream today, but we're not going to talk about that overall because we're going to wait till we see the whole thing before we talk about that. But at least we know it exists, right?
It does.
It is real, and they actually have it, which tells me that we'll be getting it at some point. So, yeah, what are we going to talk about today, Matt?
I think we're talking about Black Dwarf, Drax, and Ronan the Accuser.
That's right. Those were the most recently spoiled cards or what have you, and the Drax and Ronan cards were spoiled in a comic book review, I believe it was the CBR article, and we didn't see the backs of those cards, so I'll just go ahead and say it right now. Those cards, nothing changes on the backs per the article. So that's good news. So when we talk about those guys, keep that in mind. And then Black Dwarf will be rounding out the, quote, children of Thanos, as they like to say in the movies, but we all know it's the Black Order. The only guy we have left from that is the big boy himself.
Oh, can't wait.
I can't wait. And one final bit of news that we have to talk about, because it's something that people have been wondering for a long time, is we got the model reveals for Ant-Man and the Wasp. Did you see those?
I did see those, and it was a really fun reveal, I thought, the way they did it.
I thought it was so cool when they were like, look closely, you might miss it, and it's the Ant-Man model sitting on the fire hydrant and then the Wasp model down below that. I thought that was so cool. And then they zoomed
so
in,
good.
And you can see it. It's pretty much exactly what you would have expected. And I think that people are seeing those models, and then we don't know if that's the 35 mil normal size or if it's their shrunk down size, because people were seeing that, and I think they were thinking that that was a modeled fire hydrant, but I think that was like a real life fire hydrant that they put the models on.
Yeah, that was my impression too.
So if you think differently, let us know, because I want to know what you guys think of that, but I loved that reveal. I thought that was a lot of fun. And then we also got some fun bit of spoilery text in the transform condition, which I thought was pretty great. Did you see that?
I did see that. That is some interesting stuff.
Yeah, so the transform thing, you can check out our post on House Party Protocol, I, of course, made a little clever post over there saying that who could this be about, Morph or Mystique? You know, because I can't not mention the X-Men. Right, Idris?
We set the clock.
That's right.
So, yeah. The transform condition, they put it out here, and they had the cards all blurred out because, of course, they did. So, transform, it says, some characters have superpowers that allow them to transform into other forms. When a character that has multiple forms is deployed, always deploy the normal form of the character. When in its normal form, a character uses the attacks, superpowers, speed, and size listed under its normal heading. While transformed, it uses the attacks, superpower, speed, and size listed under its transformed heading. No matter the form a character is in, it will use the defense values, threat level, and stamina found in the center of the stat card. When an effect or superpower causes a character to transform, follow these steps. Place the miniature for the new form the character is transforming into on the battlefield within range 1 of its current position. Remove the transforming character's original miniature. It is now represented on the battlefield by the new form. A character that transforms is still the same character, so any effects, special conditions, or tokens on it remain when it transforms. How and when a character transforms is described in its various attacks, superpowers, special rules, and tactics cards. So that's rules speak for something that sounds really cool.
That does sound really cool.
And sounds very much like what Ant-Man and the Wasp are going to do. And I'm just very curious if we're ever going to see a Giant Man version. Fingers crossed one day.
They're crossed.
Or a Goliath. See a Goliath out there? That'd be cool. Anyways, yeah. Let us know what you guys think of that. That's a fun reveal. Hopefully we'll see those cards very soon. But the last bit of news that I think we have to do before we dive into this is that on the Facebook page, we had a guy post, and I got a screen grab of it. His name was Trey Morton. I guess he is a local shop owner, and it says that from his Asmodee rep that they got confirmed release dates of 6/12, and this is for North America, obviously, 6/12 for Gamora and Nebula, Corvus and Proxima, and Black Dwarf and Ebony Maw. He calls it Cull, but we all know it's Black Dwarf, even though the movie called it Cull Obsidian, which is just way worse.
Way worse.
Way worse. I mean,
come on. What are you guys doing?
What are you doing? I will say, like, if you call someone a dwarf and then you make him huge, like they did with Eitri in Infinity War, I get that that could be confusing for people, but come on. Like, it's Black Dwarf, and it's okay.
It's okay.
Just lean into it, you know what I mean? And then, so embrace also, they're dwarfist. So then they also, on that 6/12, have the Roundabout Knockout map, so we're finally going to get to see that. And then on 6/26, they have Drax, Ronan, and Hawkeye and Black Widow. So June's going to be a pretty hefty month on the wallet.
Pretty busy month.
Yeah, and I hope that, unlike me, everyone at home listening is all nice and caught up on their model painting, because holy crap, they're going to have a whole lot more to do here. What is that? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 more models? I just did the math in real time. Did you like that?
I am impressed.
Yeah, I counted by twos, dude.
What I find even more impressive is you're talking about painting when I just struggle to get stuff built.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So I love the hobby in general, and I like to paint a lot. It's medicinal or meditative, therapeutic, whatever you want to call it. I enjoy it, but I haven't found myself sitting down to do that in a while for whatever reason. But I really, really enjoy the assembly process. I don't know why, but maybe it's because there's sharp knives involved.
Sharp knives, sprues. It's a good time.
Yeah, potentially gluing your fingers together with super glue.
Every time. No matter how. I had gloves on once. I somehow got a hole in the glove and glued my fingers together.
That's impressive.
I don't even know how that happens.
That's impressive. So, yeah, that's just me. And, you know, have you ever, so when you have glued your fingers together, how many times have you tried to take the X-Acto knife and unstick them?
You know what? I've actually never thought of that. I just kind of like panic and like stare at my hand while trying to get the fingers to separate. Then I'll get like hot water. It generally just, I think the fear creates a sweat in my hand that just dissolves it or something, because they eventually unstick.
Well, that's good to know. See, I had tried the X-Acto knife between the fingers one time and never again.
Never again. It's like the fork in the electrical socket.
Let's just say that one of the fingers left with more meat on it than it started, and one had significantly less. Anyways,
you got it unstuck.
I did. I did get it unstuck at great personal cost. Speaking of meat on the bones, let's talk about our first character of the episode here. And he's a big old boy.
Big boy.
He's a big boy. He is the last of the Black Order that is not the leader, Thanos, and his name is the Black Dwarf. And let's first take a chance and look at his miniature, because this is a pretty impressive little bit of miniature making, if you want to call this thing miniature.
I like it. I just pulled it up. Yeah, he's a big guy. What size base is that, you think?
That is a 65 mil base.
Whew.
Yep, confirmed 65 mil base, and it is awfully menacing. I really like that. I like how this is, I think, a trend in one of these newer models is that enemies aren't pointing as much, maybe. But like, that was a thing for a while, is like every villain character had to be pointing. I like how he's just staring out at the enemy like, I'm about to mess you up.
Yeah, it's definitely a more menacing pose than somebody pointing.
Oh yes. Well, I mean, well, I will say I think some of the pointing is pretty good. Like Ultron's pointing, that's pretty menacing. Like he's like, I'm coming for you.
Okay, I will give you that. I will give you that.
I'm just saying.
So who do you think would win in a stare down, Black Dwarf or Ultron?
Oh, well, I think Ultron could overwhelm him with numbers, so I'm going to go with Ultron. Yeah. But that's just me. I have a soft spot for the Ultron sculpt. It's my favorite sculpt from the core box, so that's just me. But I really like this model. I like what they did with the studio paint job, obviously. I think I'm going to actually end up painting mine a little bit darker of a brown color for the skin, kind of closer to like what he looked like in the movies, because I really like that aesthetic. But then I'm also probably going to do, and this is just me, like a bronze color for the metallic, or maybe
gold.
I
like that.
And then that axe is just, I don't even know what I'm going to do. We might go power sword on that axe, you know what I mean? What about you?
I think that'll look really good.
Thank you. You got any thoughts on the paint job options here?
Well, honestly, if it was me, it would probably be gray.
with some gray accents?
Gray with gray accents. Now, I was proud of myself. I did paint something last night, so I feel like if I can keep it going, I do have to pick up Crisis Protocol, because the minis all look awesome. And I think the fact that they're bigger, it'll be easier to paint. 28 millimeter is a pain in the ass to me. So
oh yeah,
it's 40 millimeter. I'm digging it.
Yep, I love it. So, all right, now let's discuss why everyone's really here, because honestly, if you're driving, you're not supposed to be looking at this miniature. Anyway, let's talk about this character card. So, starting with the top, we have a really interesting piece of art that it's not my favorite piece of art that I've ever seen on these cards, but it's not bad. It is Black Dwarf, and he has an alter ego, Black Dwarf. So I don't know if you've listened to any of the recent episodes, but every time we've done one of these cosmic characters, other than Star-Lord, none of them have an alter ego other than their actual name, which I find to be, it's obvious, but it's like space people just, that's who they are. They just use their name as their superhero / villain name. I find
it
that
works.
Interesting. It works. Yeah, that's right. I mean, why mess up something that works, right?
Consistency. That's what they are all about in space.
That's right. So his stamina is 6, so his health pool is 6. He moves short, so he moves like the Hulk. He is size 4. He has threat value of 4. His physical defense is 4. His energy defense is 3. And his mystic defense is 3. So what stands out to you on that stat line?
He's a big boy with the size 4.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought he would have had some more health than just six, being as beefy a boy as he is.
Yeah, that's probably what stands out to me the most, too, is the fact that he only has six stamina. And I say only because maybe there's more to the picture down below. But we'll get to that soon. Yeah, I think the six stamina stands out as a, eyebrow raise. Because there's three threat characters out there that have six stamina. I mean, look at Star-Lord. Star-Lord has six stamina on his healthy side. That's something. Would you like to go over his attacks, Matt?
I would love to. All right, so first up, we've got Axe Strike, which is a physical attack with a range of 2, strength 6, and a power cost of 0. After this attack is resolved, this character gains power equal to the damage dealt.
Nice.
And second, we have Brutal End, another physical attack with a range of 3, strength 8, and a power cost of 4. And it has the stagger effect. After this attack is resolved, the target character gains the stagger special condition.
And that's only on a wild. So only when a wild is rolled is when that stagger takes effect. But those attacks are interesting. I don't know about you, but when I read that, first of all, a 6 dice free attack, as we have seen with Thor, is really strong. It's very strong. And
yeah, and 0 cost. Like,
right.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, he's got to be right up in there, but just based on appearances alone, you probably look at this character and think he wants to be in there. And as we'll see shortly when we get to superpowers, he wants to be in there.
Oh, he wants to be in there.
Oh, yeah. So I really like Axe Strike. It's basic. It's a strike, but with the special word axe. So I really like that. It's a good strike, rolling 6 dice, even though it's physical, which is the most abundant defense in the game. Rolling 6 dice is very strong for a free attack, and then gaining power equal to the damage dealt makes perfect sense. Now, Brutal End is one that I find really interesting because he only has 2 attacks. A lot of characters we've seen lately have more than 1 attack, except Hawkeye only has the 1, but a lot of them have multiple ways to do things and to interact with characters. And this one here, Brutal End, range 3, so I imagine him leaping to like slice at somebody with that big ass axe. Strength 8. That is a lot of dice you're throwing out. That's a Hulk Smash, and it cost you 4, which is good. That's the same price as Hulk Smash, I believe. I don't have the Hulk card right in front of me. And then throwing that wild stagger, I'm not sure what the math is, but I'm pretty sure I would expect to get that stagger almost every single time I do this. I mean, there is 1 wild on every die, and you're rolling 8 of them, and they are 8-sided dice. So I'm just saying, I would expect it. I don't know if the math works out that way,
pull it off.
But I really like that. It's very simple, but it's strong. Getting to 4 power seems reasonable, but I actually see myself doing Axe Strike more often than not. What about you?
Well, I think the Axe Strike is good because it lets you build up that power pretty quick. 0 cost, 6 dice. Chances are you're gonna be building some power up to unlock the Brutal End when you really need it.
I think that's it. I think you really hit the nail on the head with that last, is when you really need it, because it's definitely not something I think I'm going to want to use all the time because it is a little pricey. And as well, again, I keep teasing, his superpowers are legit. They're awesome. So as we'll see here in just a minute with his superpowers, I want to use my power bank for those more often than I do for Brutal End. But when I do need that stagger, or when I do want to remove a model from the table, I think Brutal End will come in handy. So without further ado, let's go ahead and talk about these superpowers. So first up, we have the active superpower, Black Fury. It costs you 3 power. Choose an interactive terrain feature or an enemy character, both of size 4 or less and within range 2, and throw it medium. This superpower can be used only once per turn. So here we have a size 4 throw. Always good. Always good.
You could be throwing that Hulk around if you wanted to.
Hulk becomes a mobile piece of terrain. I mean, honestly, like, that's what I like to do against whenever I have Thor. If there's a Hulk on the other side of the table, I am beaming. And now it'll be the same way with Black Dwarf, because I now get a free piece of size 4 terrain to throw around at people.
What more could you ask for?
Pretty much nothing. And now Black Dwarf, however, also becomes another piece of size 4 terrain. Keep that in mind.
This is true.
So I really like that. It's a good throw, and it's medium, which is always good. So his next superpower, we have another active superpower called Enforced Oblivion.
Ooh.
I love that. That sounds so cool. It costs you 2 power. Now listen to this.
I'm listening.
Action. So it costs you an action to use it. However, this character makes a move action. The next attack it makes, this activation, adds 2 dice to its attack roll.
Will, are you telling me that with Enforced Oblivion, I could axe strike with 8 dice?
I am actually 100% telling you that.
That seems bonkers. I love it.
That seems bananas awesome, and I can't wait to do this to people. Because you look at this, you read this here, and you think, oh, it's charge. It's not charge. This is very much not charge. But this is a new thing that we've seen in the game that I find very exciting, because it kind of makes you have to plan your activation a little bit more, but you have to factor in the fact that he only moves short. Yes, he has that big base, so he has a 65 mil base, so as we've seen with Hulk, Hulk is very mobile with that base, but he's mobile because he has the Gamma Leap ability and the base, right? So he has some additional ways to move around, so you have to make sure you're planning this accordingly. But when you do this, and then you throw on maybe a Dark Reign, if he's in Cabal, and then you're re-rolling, I mean, just take my money. I mean, whatever you're going to send him at is going to die, probably.
Hopefully.
And let's think about this, too. So, you've got Black Dwarf. This character makes a move action. The next attack adds 2 dice to its attack roll. You send him after a Hulk, and you add this ability, you might only be doing 1 attack, but you're rolling a brutal end, potentially, that has 10 dice, and Hulk's Ooh. Defenses are only 2. I mean, that sounds like some pretty good removal tech, if you ask me.
It does sound good. And plus, with brutal end, you get the little bit of extra range there with the range 3.
Exactly. So,
I like it.
Exactly. I really like this superpower. It's a fun new thing that kind of plays with our already established understanding of things like charge or steel rush on Zemo, stuff like that. So his next superpower is another one that kind of plays with our already understood way of doing things, which I think is fun. So it's a reactive superpower. It's called Intimidating Presence. And it costs you 2 power. When an enemy character within range 2 of this character targets another allied character with an attack, this character may use the superpower. This character becomes the target of the attack regardless of range and line of sight.
Ooh.
Yeah, so as you know, we've had Bodyguard in the game since day 1 in that core box. We had Captain America. He has Bodyguard. So if he is within range 2 of the target character, then he becomes the target of the attack. But this is a nice little reversal of this. So you see the reversal of that, right?
Is it the regardless of range and line of sight?
No. So where this is the reversal of that is, so with Captain America, he has to be within range 2 of the target, whereas Black Dwarf has to be within range 2 of the attacker.
Ah.
Yeah. So a fun interaction, I think, where depending on your spacing and your placement, like if you've got a Captain Marvel sitting out there at range 4 doing some energy blasts to people, not really doing much, but she's out there at range 4, you send a Black Dwarf over, well, all of a sudden she has to start attacking Black Dwarf.
Very nice.
I find that to be interesting. I don't really know how this power is going to play out, but I find it interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, at first I read that wrong. So I was thinking you had to be within two of the target that was being attacked. But like you said, this is a reversal, so... All right. I'm seeing some potential.
Yeah, and it's one of those superpowers that I don't... It's not something you're going to use all the time, but especially with it, the current meta, if you will, like, I still don't like using that word for this game just yet because I don't feel like there's an established meta, but with the current kind of trends, if you will, in the gamma waves, the origin bombs, like the close-in, you know, kind of centralized fights that have been happening, I could see an ability like this paying off big time, especially when it comes to a victory point situation. And like, you're like, all right, you're going to attack my character that's holding the Kree core, or you're going to try to attack my character that's holding the Skrull agent or whatever. Well, I'm going to let Black Dwarf absorb that attack to keep myself getting those two victory points.
Yeah, it seems like it would be good for like almost purposely putting somebody out in the open for an attack and then just being like, oh, actually, you're going to attack him instead.
Exactly. So I could see it being fun, but it's definitely going to rely on positioning and pre-planning your turns to get the most out of it, I think.
I agree with you.
So
it is situational.
Oh yeah, very much, but that's okay. And that's what makes this game good is finding all those little situations with which we figure it all out.
Situations and options, baby.
That's it. So next up we have an innate superpower called Invulnerable Skin. When this character would suffer damage from an enemy effect, reduce the amount suffered by one to a minimum of one. So, very much like Invincible Iron Man, except I like this one. Well, I'm not sure. I don't have the Invincible Iron Man card right in front of me, but I like how this says from an enemy effect. So, basically, if you have something thrown at you, or an attack done to you, you can reduce that damage by one to a minimum of one without spending power.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. So that's six stamina. Just went up a little bit, essentially.
Combos well with Intimidating Presence because, you know, you got a little bit of soak.
Exactly. That's it. I think that this creates a character that is very obviously damage-focused, but also meant to absorb a good amount of damage too.
I think our boy Black Dwarf can take a punch.
I think he can. And let's talk about his injured side. So not only can he take a punch on his front side with that six stamina, he can take a hell of a punch on his backside. 8 stamina on his backside. When you flip him over, he only gets stronger. I really like this character.
I do too. You know, I went in on the fence, but I'm liking him.
Yeah, and one of the things I'm noticing here is that he's very akin to Thor in a lot of ways. Maybe that's a lazy comparison, but he's very akin to Thor with some of the superpowers and some of the strike and the health, obviously the health, but he's cheaper at 4 threat, which is nice. And yeah, I think he does some really interesting stuff.
I do too, and I am going to agree with you on that Thor comparison because I was actually on that episode, and we talked about Thor, and I remember his ability to throw people around, which I thought was cool.
Yep, exactly. So I don't know about you, Matt, but I think that he would fit very nicely into Avengers, but it's not my favorite. I think Avengers is good, though, because Avengers, as you know, gives the discount of the first superpower you use per turn gets a reduction in cost. So let's look at it like this. Black Dwarf's on his turn. He uses Enforced Oblivion, only costing you one. Or it's on his turn. He uses Black Fury, only costing you two. And then it's your opponent's turn. They make an attack. The attacker, the aggressor, is within range two of Black Dwarf. Well, guess what? Even though it's on their turn, Intimidating Presence, you can use it for the cost of one. Captain America's leadership triggers per turn, not per round. So it's very useful.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So keep that in mind, which I really like that. So I think that he would fit well in an Avengers list because of that discount. But I really like him in Cabal because he is going to be doing some damage. And the Cabal affiliation, as everyone out there already knows, is when you do damage with an attack, you gain a power. So I think that's really, I think that's going to make him really strong as well.
Yeah, like it's tough to pick because, I mean, so with the Avengers, you can get Enforced Oblivion, like you said, for one. So for paying that one power cost, you get to do a 8 dice axe strike.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
And I don't know about you, but when the dice, for whatever reason, have been leaving me lately. Like, I've been playing some games with a couple of friends here and there lately, and the dice gods have really frowned upon me recently. And that's okay. It's dice. It's going to happen. I don't know what I did to upset them, but whatever. But with all that being said, rolling 8 dice at the cost of only 1 power is crazy, and I expect to get about 4 or 5 back.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Will, the dice gods could never leave me because they've never been with me to begin with.
You've been in their doghouse since day one?
I have. I don't know what I did. I don't know. I don't know if in a past life I was a card player and I frowned upon the dice. I don't know what I did to them, but they are not with me.
Yeah, that happens, my man. It happens, you know, and we all go through spells, but it has happened to me recently, and it's not a way of life I generally live in, so I guess I got to make my tactics a little better instead of relying on the dice gods. With all that said, I like him in Avengers. I also like him in Asgard because Asgard, one of the things that we saw with Hulk and other characters that rely on a lot of extra power, needing more power, is that stun, stagger, poison effects that cause or manipulate your power generation are really devastating to characters like that. So Asgard being able to remove either a damage or a special condition, I think would go really well with Black Dwarf, because you definitely want him to be able to gain as much power as possible from Axe Strike so that he can Black Fury, so that he can Intimidating Presence. So, and then Brutal End when it needs to happen.
When you need to drop the axe.
Exactly. I don't think he would fit really great with Wakanda. I think Wakanda doesn't really need a character like this. I think he could be interesting in Wakanda because more so than necessarily benefiting from their leadership is just bringing in a size 4 throw for one less than Thor costs is, I think, interesting. But I don't think fully necessary. And then the last one that we have right now is the Guardians of the Galaxy, where, for those of you that might not know, you have to spend a tactic card to get Winging It tokens, and you get 3 Winging It tokens, and then you get rerolls, or reroll 2 dice, I think is what it is. I can't remember off the top, but basically there's rerolls involved, and you only get a few of them.
Okay.
That's the long story short there. Anyways, I don't really think he would benefit from that, because he doesn't have a way to generate more than just the 2 attacks on a turn.
Right.
So yeah. Overall thoughts on Black Dwarf?
I like him.
I really like him a lot. I think he's a strong character. I think he's on the curve of characters. Like, if you look at everything on a curve, right? Like the power curve, there are characters that are going to be above it and characters that are going to be below it. But it's all about kind of, you know, how close they are to that curve. I think Black Dwarf is right on it, maybe ever so slightly above the power curve for a 4 threat character.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, and especially depending on what affiliation you put him with.
Oh yeah, for sure. That definitely plays a huge part. I do think that he is a strong character in the right setup, but one thing you have to realize is he's not an affiliation, so whatever you do, you're going to have to make sure that you make a list that plays to that affiliation. We all know that now, obviously, but at the same time, it's just, you know, when you've got a character like Vision, who is really great with Avengers, who is in affiliation of Avengers, you know, you're giving up a Vision. You're giving up Captain Marvel. You're giving up Black Panther. Those are the characters that you have to leave off the table in order to bring a character like this. So that's, you know, something to think about.
Definitely food for thought.
So with Black Dwarf, there's a couple of cards, a couple of tactic cards that were spoiled along with Black Dwarf that really only pertain to Black Order. And there's one of them that's unaffiliated, but it says Ebony Maw on it. So let's go ahead and talk about those before we move on to our last two characters today. The first one, so if anyone hasn't listened, I will go ahead and encourage you to go and listen to the last episode of House Party Protocol because we talked about Ebony Maw. This is an Ebony Maw specific card, so it's called Shh. And it's unaffiliated, so any affiliation he can be in to use this. It's reactive. When an enemy character within range 5 of an allied Ebony Maw spends one or more power to use an active or reactive superpower, Ebony Maw may spend 3 power to play this card. The enemy superpower has no effect and cannot be used again for the rest of this turn, but the character still spends the power cost of that superpower and is considered to have used the superpower. That is a lot of text to basically say that Ebony Maw cancels out the superpower that someone uses.
Denied.
And we did get clarification on this. I will say I think this should have been on the card, but if the superpower costs you an action, you still get that action. You don't forfeit your action. Even though, to me, the card kind of reads like that. AMG did confirm this. But, whew. Yeah, you have to spend that power and then just, bye-bye power. Bye-bye superpower.
Bye-bye.
That's super good. Only once per game, that's really good. All right, the next one we have is called Mothership. It is a Black Order specific card, so you have to be running the Black Order affiliation. It's active. 2 Black Order characters may both spend 2 power each to play this card. Place one of the 2 characters not holding an objective token within range 1 of the other character. Holy Mothership.
It's almost like if you wanted to get a really slow guy further up the board really quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that is... I really like that. It sounds like
awesome.
A lot of fun. So, yeah, those are just some tactics cards that it came out. I really like Shh. I think that's super good and going to be super annoying to an opponent when you play it on them. And then Mothership is a really good ability for mobility. You know, I think that'll be a lot of fun. So, final thoughts on Black Dwarf and those cards?
Just giving him the extra mobility with Mothership, I really like that. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that'll be a good way to get him up into the thick of things quicker.
Exactly, and then pop off that intimidating presence, because he is quite scary with that big-ass axe in your face.
I wouldn't want to mess with him.
No. Speaking of people that you might not want to mess with, though, our next character on the list is Drax the Destroyer.
Ooh.
So, I don't know how big of a fan you are of the comics in general, but you remember the Infinity Gauntlet saga back in the day, right? The original?
Of course, yes.
I know that that's not the Drax we all know and love today, but I kind of wanted that Drax. You know, the green and the purple with the cape? You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. Are you gonna green stuff a cape onto this guy?
God, no. I'm not. I love this Drax. Like, let's go ahead and take a look at his model real quick. But I love this Drax. I love what they've done with Drax as a character in the modern comic universe. But there was just that little sliver of my being that wanted that old school version. Just like with Hawkeye, you know, they announced Hawkeye and showed his card and we talked about it before, you know, like, I wanted old school Hawkeye. But of course, you know, I can't have nice things.
You can't have nice things. It's like announcing Ghost Rider and being like, oh, it's Johnny Blaze, not Dan Ketch.
Stop it.
What's that?
They had to go. We are not having this discussion, young man.
All right. We will wait for Greg and we will settle this like grown adults.
That's right. So you've heard it here, folks. Whenever the drop for Ghost Rider's card is, we're getting the band back together and we're going to hash it out. It's going to be an all Ghost Rider all the time episode. It's going to be so good.
Vote Ketch.
Johnny Blaze for the win. Thank you, King of Hell. Haters gonna hate. So anyways, Drax the Destroyer is who we're talking about today. I love this sculpt. It's really good. I find it very like a fun. It just evokes what the character is all about in our current iteration of the comic books and the movies. I love it. It's just a fun, simple, but nice sculpt. And of course, he is standing on the tiniest piece of rubble because we cannot have an MCP character without a piece of rubble under their boots, apparently.
It happens, you know? Everywhere you step.
There's just rubble everywhere. He is the Destroyer, after all.
He could have made that rubble, and now he's claiming it. Like, look what I did. This piece of rubble right here.
It's completely his. It's all his. That's the only claim that he has in the world now. So, let's talk about Drax the Destroyer. He is Drax the Destroyer with an alter ego, Drax. Yeah. So he's just Drax. He has 6 stamina, so 6 health. His movement is medium. He is size 2. Threat value of 3. He has a physical defense of 3, an energy defense of 3, and a mystic defense of 2. What stands out to you on that stat line?
Gonna be honest with you, nothing really jumps out at me. Really what does pop out to me is, so 6 health, 3 cost, just comparing them to Black Dwarf, you get the same health pool for a point less. You get a little bit faster with the medium, not as big. But yeah, I think for 3 points, the 6 health is pretty nice.
That is actually what stands out to me, too. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, according to the article, there is no change on the back of these cards. So 6 stamina on both the healthy and injured side, that's a pretty hardy boy for 3 threat.
Well, yeah, 3 threat.
And anytime that you can tell me that you're telling me that, like, hey, I'm going to give you a 3 cost character that's got 12 total health, I'm on board with that. Because you've got other characters out there, like a Gamora, who's a 4-cost character with 10 health. There's a big... the 2 health doesn't sound like a lot, but it really makes a difference. It's weird how just that 1 or 2 extra health makes a difference. And in this case, you've got a cheap character that does a lot, as we'll see. And, yeah. I mean, and his weakness is mystic attacks, which we don't have a lot of right now. Obviously, Doctor Strange is coming. We know this, but he's coming. Doctor Strange is coming. But I just watched that the other day. It's so good. Anyways.
It is so good.
Anyways, right now we don't have too much mystic. Like Ebony Maw, MODOK, Hela has a mystic attack that's very good. But really, there's not much of it. I don't think that that's as big of a concern right now. But maybe in the future it will be. But why don't you go ahead and talk about his attacks?
All right. I'd be happy to. So first up, we've got Blades, a physical attack with a range of 2, strength 5, and a power cost of 0. After this attack is resolved, this character gains power equal to the damage dealt. If the character has the bleed special condition, you may reroll 2 attack dice during this attack. And on a wild, you get bleed. After this attack is resolved, the target character gains the bleed special condition.
I like it.
Next up, we've got another physical attack with headbutt. Range 2, strength 4, and a power cost of 2. On a wild, you get stun. After this attack is resolved, the target character gains the stun special condition. If the character is size 3 or less after this attack is resolved, it may be pushed away from this character short.
Nice. And stun real quick and bleed. I'll go ahead and go over bleed since you mentioned it at the beginning. Bleed is after a character's activation, if they did not shake that condition, then they take 1 damage. Stun is you are prevented from gaining more than 1 power from an effect. So if you get something thrown at you or you get attacked, you can only gain 1 power.
Ooh. And last, we have another physical attack, Titan Killer. Range 2, strength 3, with a power cost of 3. Add 1 die to this attack roll for every damage token on this character. And on a wild, you get throw. Before damage is dealt, if the target character is size 4 or less, this character may throw the target away short.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Wow, those attacks are interesting.
They are. So they are indeed.
These actually are some of the most wordy attacks that I've seen in the game. And let's just start at the top with blades. Obviously, it is strike, but he's using blades, so therefore it's not strike. I'm surprised they didn't call it Blade Strike like they did with Black Dwarf Axe Strike.
Strike.
Blade Strike. Fight. All right. Anyways. So I like how that if the character has the bleed special condition, you get to re-roll 2 attack dice because that's really cool. It makes you want to use his free attack to follow up a previously done free attack. And in my experience in the game so far, bleed is a condition that doesn't get cleared very often. So there's a lot of ways to put bleed out there, and most people are okay with taking that one damage to maximize their efficiency. So this is a character that'll make you pay for that.
Yeah, and so you roll in 5, you get to reroll 2 if they're bleeding, and this entire time you're just generating power.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you apply the bleed condition if they don't already have it. Hopefully.
So, I like it.
Yeah.
I think this is a very good free attack.
I agree. And then the next attack is the one where I'm kind of under, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. So let's talk about it and maybe I'll generate some thoughts here. So it costs you 2 power and you only get to roll 4 dice. It's physical, which is, as we said with Black Dwarf, it's the most common defense, highest defense in the game generally. So the reason why you want this attack, I think, is for the stun effect, and then if you're attacking the right sized character, for the push. I think really that's what it is being able to push a character short is really what you want, and then try and apply that stun special condition if you can. It's only 4 dice, so I think you're going to hit it about 50% of the time is what I think the math works out to. Again, I'm not sure, but yeah. I like the attack, but I don't know if I love it. Stun is a really strong condition, though.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I like it, but I don't love it. I mean, compared to blades, I think I would be doing blades more. I think it's a more effective attack, and it doesn't cost you any power.
Yeah, and I think that really this attack is about making sure you're targeting the right people with it. So if the target character is size 3 or less, after this attack is resolved, it may be pushed away from this character short. So the only characters that would not be pushed away short are Hulk, MODOK, and Black Dwarf. So far, with what's been revealed in this game, the only characters, those are the only 3 that would not be affected by this. So I do like that. And I also, another thing I like about this attack, and like I said, I'm going to formulate some thoughts as I was going with it, so here we are. Another thing I like about it is the text, it says, it may be pushed away from this character short. So Black Panther's basic attack, you have to do the push. But I like how with this attack, you can choose whether to push them away or not. So I really like that. I find that kind of fun. And then the last one is another very interesting one in Titan Killer. So it costs you 3 power, and when you see that it only gives you 3 dice, I mean, that's kind of weak. But then you see that for every damage that Drax has, he gets to add a die. So conceivably, this 3 cost attack could get you to 8 dice. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
That's one less power than Black Dwarf, who we talked about earlier's big attack, Brutal End.
Then you couple in the next little piece there with the throw on the wild, and
exactly.
You can throw up to a size 4, so that means MODOK, Black Dwarf, and Hulk are getting thrown.
Exactly. Thrown short away, which is important, but still, love it. Mobile pieces of terrain, as I like to call them. And how do you beat MODOK? You throw stuff at him. I mean, that is that totally negates his defensive tech. So, yeah, throw stuff at MODOK. Unfortunately, that won't always work with Ebony Maw, but you make him use the power, which is good. But, yeah, I actually like this attack a lot. It can take down some pretty hefty targets, I think. I don't know if I really am. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be using this attack very often because you have to have the right amount of power to make it worth it and the right amount of damage. Sorry.
Exactly.
Because you have to have the right amount of damage to make it worth it.
And that's kind of where the six health really shines, if you ask me, because for 3 points, you get in six health, but the more wounds you're able to kind of stack up on yourself, the stronger this becomes.
Exactly. And now let's talk about his superpowers, because I think they'll play into some of this as well. So his first superpower is an active superpower that costs you 3 power called the Destroyer. Choose an interactive terrain feature or an enemy character, both of size 3 or less, and within range 2, and throw it short. This superpower can be used only once per turn. So there we have a throw, an out of action throw. Love it.
Love it.
His next superpower is a reactive superpower called Driven by Vengeance. 0 power cost. So, it's reactive. When this character is damaged by an enemy attack, you may use this superpower. Place a vengeance token on or move an existing vengeance token to the enemy character that caused the effect. When this character targets a character that has a vengeance token with an attack, this character rolls 3 additional attack dice. After this attack is resolved, the vengeance token is removed. This character may only have 1 vengeance token in play at a time. So, holy wall of text. But,
wow.
That's something. That's a recurring theme with the Guardians of the Galaxy, is these walls of text. But all of that means Drax has a token that he can put on an enemy character after Drax gets attacked. And then when he retaliates, he adds 3 dice to that attack. Holy shit.
Yeah, so if you've taken 5 damage, you're rolling 8 dice on Titan Killer.
Yep.
But if you've got a Vengeance token to play, that's 11 dice for 3 power.
Exactly. That's 8 dice for no power on your Blades attack.
I didn't even think about that.
And if the target's bleeding, you get to re-roll 2 of those. And if he's in the Guardians of the Galaxy affiliation and he's got Winging It tokens on him, he gets to re-roll even more of that.
That's good.
I think I'm liking Drax. His last superpower is an innate superpower called I Can Take It. When this character would suffer damage from an enemy effect, reduce the amount suffered by 1 to a minimum of 1. So there we go. That 6 stamina just got a lot more. I like it. That's a hardy boy.
Yeah, I am really liking Drax. I thought I liked Black Dwarf, but I'm going to say I think I love Drax.
I think I like Drax a lot better, actually.
Yeah.
Black Dwarf is maybe stronger in some ways, but Drax costs 1 less. He brings something to the Guardians of the Galaxy that they did not have already, and that is a throw. And then you put this Driven by Vengeance on there. I think that sounds so fun and thematic and just bonkers in so many ways. I'm stoked to try this character out.
Yeah, I definitely need to get this game and get me some Drax of the Destroyer.
Yeah, I think getting an 11 dice Titan Killer off is going to be like the highlight of any game. And then, of course, I'm going to roll 10 blanks and a skull. Because that's how we do.
That's how we do.
I will say, I've said this before on this show, and I'll say it again. It seems like with me, the more dice I add to my dice pool, the less likely I am to do good things. If I'm rolling like 4 or 5 dice, I can do pretty okay for whatever reason, and then explode some crits, take that dice pool up to 6 or 7, and then I'm living large. But with these like 11 dice, or like a, I don't know how many dice it is with a maxed out Hulk smash, it's something absurd. I don't remember off the top of my head, but rolling up this ridiculous amount of dice, it's like, okay, well, I had 2 hits. Typical.
You're sitting there struggling to fit all the dice in your hand, and you're like, there's no way I can't roll bad on this. Look at all my dice. And then you roll terribly.
Yep. But
we've all been there.
But hopefully Titan Killer will be just the thing I need to make it better.
Titan Killer is going to kill your bad luck.
I hope so.
It's going to do.
So, yeah, if it was accurate in that article that there's no changes on the back, this Drax looks pretty good. So, affiliation-wise, where do you think he fits?
So, you touched on the Guardians earlier with the winging it tokens, and I think he obviously synergizes very well with that, with the rerolls on Blades, and even if you do it on Titan Killer.
Oh, yeah.
When you're rolling those 11 dice, even if the dice gods do abandon you, you can pray again.
That's it. And right now with Drax, so we're going to talk about Ronan in just a minute. With Drax, so you've got Drax at 3, Gamora at 4, and then Star-Lord at 3, Nebula at 2, and Groot at 3, and Rocket at 2, that gives you a 17-point list right there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Drax is the only character that can throw something in that list, which I find to be very important, but it's a pretty good throw and a pretty good character doing it.
Yeah, and you actually have multiple throw options between Titan Killer and the Destroyer.
Exactly. So I kind of like that list, and then as you'll see with Ronan, that bumps things up a little bit. You have to make a little bit tougher of decisions if you put Ronan in, but we'll get to that in a second. I like Drax and Guardians. I think that's fun. I also really like Drax and Cabal. I think Cabal has a lot of other options that where he doesn't necessarily need to be there, but I think that he would go well in Cabal. I think Wakanda wouldn't do anything for him, really. Again, unless you just kind of want to just put him in there to give them a throw, sort of, I think is what you would maybe want to think about. And then Avengers, being able to do the Destroyer for one cheaper is kind of cool. But at the same time, I don't think he necessarily wants to be in Avengers, but I don't think it'd be a bad thing for Avengers. But with the new Black Widow and the new Hawkeye, the Avengers are getting some really good 3-cost options. So I'm not really sure how I feel about him there. I'm going to try him with all of them, I will say. And same thing with Black Dwarf. But I think the Guardians is really where he wants to go. Asgard would be okay, because then you can remove some damage from him, but you kind of want him to have that damage so you get that Titan Killer off. So I don't know. In terms of other than Guardians, I don't really know where Drax fits, but I like him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think he's going to shine in Guardians, and that's where I'd probably play him. But I definitely love this character and his abilities.
Yeah, I think he's pretty fun. So, final thoughts on Drax?
I think he's a keeper.
I think he is, too. I like him a lot. So, our last character we're going to talk about today on this jam-packed show is Ronan the Accuser. So, let's take a look first at his miniature. He comes with Drax, which is pretty cool. He's in the very, very comic book-esque garb. It is very much his comic book look. If you ever read any or seen Ronan in any comic books, this is very much what he looks like. But I haven't really remembered or noticed enough of Ronan with that weapon that he has. So it's actually got a name. It's called Universal Weapon. But that looks a lot like, at least from the paint job perspective, what they have in the movie. And I can't remember if it looks the same in the comics or not, but very reminiscent of his movie version right there. But I like this. And we have a villain pointing. We're back to it.
Yes. There you go.
Well,
but in this case, it works. I this is a more intimidating point.
It is. It's pretty intimidating. He is about to accuse. He is accusing someone of something.
Somebody probably stands accused.
Some kind of injustice against the Kree Empire and his father before him. So, one thing I'm actually noticing rotating this little model around, I love this rotation feature they have on their website, by the way, is that he's not standing on any rubble. There is nothing beneath his feet except for the base and then that cut behind him. But he's actually just a normal model, not standing on anything. I'm shocked. I don't know whether to be happy and rejoice or to just be sad and because there's no more rubble.
Bastards have done it.
I know, they did it.
Character with no rubble. What were they thinking?
Those crazy sons of bitches, they did it. Anyways, I love it. It's a good sculpt. I'm probably going to paint him up like this, but I really am excited to see people paint him more like his movie adaptation because you know people are going to do it, and I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I think if I were to paint him, I really love the movie version of Ronan, so I would probably go with that scheme.
Yep, okay. Well, I want to see that one day when you finally paint your gray models.
Yes. I'll do it for you.
Thank you. I'm glad to know that you will do that, for me at least. So we have Ronan the Accuser with an alter ego of, guess what? Ronan.
What?
The Accuser.
I am shocked.
I know. Doesn't that blow your mind? Another space character with his superhero name being his name. So Ronan is 6 stamina, moves medium, he's size 3, threat value of 4, his physical defense is 3, energy defense is 4, and a mystic defense of 4. What stands out to you on those stat lines?
That's going to be those double 4s on the energy and mystic.
Yeah, that's interesting because most of the time characters have a 4 physical and energy or like a high mystic, but I mean, seeing 4 in the energy and mystic defense, that is exciting.
He's not taking any shit from mystics.
That's right. Yeah. MODOK, like bow to the will of MODOK. He's like, no, I accuse you, mother. You know what I mean?
You stand accused of having a big ass head, boy.
Come here. Let me beat it with my hammer.
It's not a hammer, it's a universal weapon.
Yes, it's a universal weapon that looks oddly like a hammer. Hey, you know, like they say in Thor, a hammer is both a tool to build and a weapon to destroy.
I like it.
There you go, Anthony Hopkins with the words of wisdom. So, yeah, I find that a 4 energy defense is really cool because energy attacks are becoming a thing that people really want to try to use a lot now because of the prevalence of Venom and just characters overall having weaker energy defense. It is the, quote, weakest defense in the game overall on a pure numbers basis. But I like that he has a 4 energy defense. I think that's kind of cool. And then the mystic defense is just really cool. So why don't you go ahead and go over his attacks?
All right, I would love to. So first up, we've got a physical attack, strike. So 2 range, strength 5, cost of 0. After this attack is resolved, this character gains power equal to the damage dealt. On a wild, we've got a throw. Before damage is dealt, if the target character is size 4 or less, this character may throw the target character away short.
Ooh, Billy.
Ooh, he ain't messing around.
He is not messing around. Holy awesome bit of basic attack, man.
I know. And it looks like we got a second basic attack here with universal weapon and energy attack with a range of 4, strength 5, and a power cost of 0. So on a wild, you get a push. If the target character is size 4 or less before damage is dealt, it may be pushed away from this character short. If this attack deals damage after the attack is resolved, the target character gains the shock special condition. Then we've got another energy attack, Kree Justice, a range of 2, strength of 8, with a power cost of 4. So this attack deals damage after the attack is resolved. The character gains the stun and stagger special conditions. On a wild, it is explosive before damage is dealt. Other enemy characters within range 2 of this target character suffer 1 damage. Whoa.
Yeah, so Ronan putting out the hurt. Holy moly. So
you can say that again.
Let's just start at the top with his strike. So a wild throw on five dice. So Thor, as a comparison, has six dice and a wild throw. And he hits that about 50% of the time. So I would imagine that this throw is going to be somewhere in the 40% of the time range. But holy crap, I'm expecting to do it regularly. And it's size four.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Five dice physical strike. I mean, five dice is better than four. And not as good as six, but still better than four.
I like your assessment.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Look, it's well documented, my not so much love for a four dice physical attack. I mean, it's just, it doesn't excite me. I don't know. What can I say? But this, you add that one extra number on there, and I'm pretty interested. And then you put a wild throw, and you got my blood flowing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, wild throw with size four.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. So then universal weapon is an energy attack, which, as I said earlier, energy is really good right now, and it's range four, five strength, so five dice. So this reminds me of Iron Man, and it also has the wild push. Iron Man has a range four, I think it's four dice, four strength energy attacks, repulsor blast, and it just kind of seems weak to me. And even though the push is good, the Iron Man version of it is just meh. But you put this with five dice, even though it's just one more, that one more just makes it that much more consistent to me. And then you put the push on there, so you're having a slightly more powerful Shuri, and you're just hoping for that wild. And then, add on to that, if this attack deals damage, someone's going to get the shock special condition, which removes an attack die when they go to attack.
Ooh.
So, I don't know about you, but I'm seeing a play here where you get Ronan up the board just a little bit, about halfway through the first round. You move a medium. Hopefully somebody moves into that range four or has moved into that range four. And then boom, they're down a die.
Down a die.
Shock. I love it. Yes. Bring it down to thunder. I love it. But yeah, I really like this. What do you think of this one?
I really like this. You know, it doesn't generate you power, but I mean, you got the push and shock. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm a little hazy on this, but if you push somebody into something, does that deal damage?
It does not. A throw will, but a push will not.
A throw will, but a push won't. Okay.
Yep. And you make a really good point, and I'm glad you brought this up, is that this does not generate you power. So a lot of times what we've seen on these characters is their strike will be equal to the damage dealt, and then a different attack, and this goes back to Captain Marvel, who has an attack energy blast where it gains you one power after the attack. So a lot of times we'll see something like that where an attack will just generate one guaranteed power, whereas universal weapon here, while it's a good attack, it really doesn't, you don't gain that power, so you're not able to do some of the superpowers that we're going to be talking about, or you're not able to build up to that Kree Justice.
Let's talk about that Kree Justice.
Yeah, so Kree Justice is, again, reminiscent of the Brutal End, except it's only range two, but eight dice for four power, and if you deal damage, stun and stagger the target. Oh my gosh.
It's a lot of special conditions.
Well, that is a theme with the Guardians of the Galaxy is conditions. But let's just think about the combos that this involves. Like, you know, the more conditions you can put on people, I mean, you get those conditions out there. And let's say that someone already has a stun on them when you go with Ronan. And then they're only going to gain at most one power from this Kree Justice attack, and then they're going to be staggered. So you can only clear one condition per turn with per shake action. So if you have a bleed, a stun, a shock, a judgment, like we're about to find out,
you're having a bad day.
You're having a really bad day, and I don't know yet, but I think that there is a viable list that is condition heavy with Guardians of the Galaxy that doesn't rely on a lot of throws like some of the other, like I like to play a very throw heavy game. That's what I enjoy doing. I've had some success with it. That's kind of how I like to play. But the Guardians of the Galaxy excite me because with what Star-Lord does, pumping out conditions, with what Ronan does with the conditions, with Drax putting out some conditions, Nebula, I mean, I think that it creates a fun and different kind of play style that could mess with some of these other lists that have a hard time with conditions. I do think that Guardians of the Galaxy don't play well into Asgardians because Asgardians can remove a condition for free. So you have to make sure you're getting enough conditions on there to where you can keep putting them on there and make your opponent have to make tough choices. But I really like this Kree Justice attack to be able to put these two conditions on there, plus with Universal Weapon having the shot condition. And then if you roll a wild, anybody that's clumped up together is also going to get damaged, which I like. Sorry, I got really excited about that.
I don't blame you. This is a badass attack.
It's super bad, and I super love it. So, any other thoughts on his attacks before I move on to his superpower?
No, I think we got it covered pretty good.
I think so too. I like these attacks a lot. So his first superpower is a reactive superpower called Judgment. It costs you 2 power. When this character or an allied character within range 3 of this character is damaged by an enemy effect, after the effect is resolved, you may use this superpower. The character that caused the effect gains the Judgment special condition.
So tell me, Will, what is the Judgment special condition?
Well, I'm glad you asked. According to the article, we didn't actually see the text in the rulebook yet. I don't think it's been published, but the article that they published says that it prevents a character from gaining power when they suffer damage from enemies.
Ooh.
Yeah, I really like that. So it's not unlike stun, whereas stun, you only gain the 1 power. You still gain the 1. This one, you don't gain any when you're damaged, which, holy moly.
No soup for you.
That's a huge part of the game. I'm pulling up the rulebook real quick just to be sure that it's not actually published in there yet, because I actually want to see the text if we can. But that's what that article said. I copied it and pasted it. So
you have the rulebook open right now, and I am showing 0 results for Judgment.
That's right. Not in the rulebook yet, so I'm sure it'll be on a little card that comes with Ronin, but that's okay, because if that's the effect, holy crap. Not gaining any power when you suffer damage from an enemy effect is huge, because like we saw with his actual Judgment ability here, so when Ronin or one of his allies is damaged within range 3 of him, then he can do this to somebody else for 2 power. So he creates a little Judgment bubble, if you will, and he's just going to be standing there handing out accusations left and right.
I love it.
I think that sounds kind of fun.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I understand this, right? So it's a character. So it's when him or an ally within range 3. So the attacker doesn't have to be within range 3. It's
no.
Just... Oh.
Yes, that's you got it exactly right. So if him, which really that's good, but it's really about the fact that anybody that's within range 3 of him that is an ally that gets targeted. So it could be Shuri at range 5 away, and they happen to target Drax, who is at the fringe of range 3 to Ronin. So that's basically across the board. Honestly, like if you can picture the measurements in this game, that is essentially across the board, like completely across the board.
That's kind of crazy, and it only costs you 2.
Yeah, that's nuts and awesome. And this is why Universal Weapon doesn't generate you a power, because otherwise, by the end of the game, everyone would have Judgment on them. Holy crap.
I like it.
So his next superpower is also a reactive superpower that costs you nothing. So not unlike Drax. If an enemy effect would cause this character to be dazed or KO'd, after the effect is resolved, you may use the superpower. This character immediately advances short and may make one attack targeting the enemy character that caused the effect. Then this character is dazed or KO'd.
I love this.
Holy crap. I mean, wow, what an awesome, like, oh, you're gonna mess me up? Well, I'm gonna mess you up real quick. And listen to this wording is may make one attack. So you can use a Kree Justice if you have the power for it.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking.
But listen,
when I saw this card, I was like, this is an instant buy.
Oh, it's instant. But listen to this. So think about this. I don't know if you thought of this. If an enemy effect would cause this character to be dazed or KO'd after the effect is resolved, you may use the superpower. So, and it's a zero cost, which is just nuts. But after the effect is resolved, so you gain your power. So if he has full health and is going down, you then have 6 power and can do this.
I didn't even think about that. That's crazy.
Yes. Now, it's hard to take a guy down that has 6 health, but even, like, let's say that he has 3 health on him. You just gained 3 power. Hopefully you have one already. Or hopefully you have enough to judgment and then do this with a Kree Justice.
Ooh.
And granted, I will say that might not be the most efficient thing, because if you're going to take someone out with a Kree Justice, you don't want to have first spent judgment. But if you're about to get KO'd, why not? Because if you whiff the attack, boom, kid still got judgment on him.
I like that.
Yeah. So think about that little fun interaction when you're playing Ronin, or when you get in Tabletop Simulator and you start messing around with Ronin. I mean, that's a fun interaction, if I say so myself.
I really like this character.
Yeah, and then his last superpower is an innate ability, Gem Bearer Power, and then he has immunity to poison. So the poison special condition is he's immune to it, but basically the character loses one power during the power phase. So they would still gain the power and then subsequently lose a power. That's an important thing to note. But he's immune to that, and then he also has Gem Bearer Power Gem. So the Power Gem, for those of you that don't know, it costs you one extra threat, so it takes him to threat 5. And then the actual ability of the Power Gem is, during the power phase, this character gains 2 additional power instead of the normal 1 for having an Affinity Gem. So he would gain 3 power during the power phase. 1 for the rules that always gain you a power, and then 2 for the Power Gem. So that's 3 power, allowing you to judgment immediately, and then also allowing you to be very close to a Kree Justice when the time comes.
Yeah. And if anything triggers the accuser, that'll definitely put you over the top.
Ooh,
to
yeah.
Be able to Kree Justice.
Exactly. I really like this character. I will say probably the only thing he doesn't have, but it would also make him a higher threat character, is an out-of-action throw. But man, this character seems so much fun to me. And the Guardians just sound like they are going to be so much fun when we get them all on the table. Now, I pointed it out when we were talking about Drax, how with Drax, the Guardians make a 17-point list minus Ronan. You put Ronan in, that's 21. There's no crisis in the game that we have right now that is 21. So you have to make some sacrifices to get Ronan in. Personally, I'm sacrificing Nebula and Rocket, probably, or I'm sacrificing Groot and Nebula, probably, and adding a Power Stone on somebody. I think. I don't know yet. Rapid reaction. It's a hot take. It's fuego. I'm just saying.
Fuego. En fuego.
It's on fuego.
Ah.
Spicy. I know. I don't know yet. I just... Hot, yeah, that's just off the top of my head. That's where I'm going with it.
Well, you got like a little over a month to make your decision, because I think you said what, June 26th, we get Ronan and Drax.
I can't wait, because Ronan sounds like a lot of fun. He sounds like a really interesting character that you're gonna have to be very cognizant of your placement with to get the most out of Judgment. Because I think at the end of the day, when I read this card, this character is designed around the Judgment superpower and placing those Judgment tokens on pretty much everybody. And then you layer onto that the special conditions that other Guardians of the Galaxy characters and just other characters in general can use and place onto other characters. This creates a really interesting character to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting we did them in this order because, I liked Black Dwarf. I was like, oh, Drax is even better. Then we top it off with Ronan the Accuser, and whoo, I think I'm in love.
Hey man, it was, this, they don't call us the best in the business for nothing. Don't even know if anybody calls us that, but I'm just going to go ahead and just say that right now.
Hey, these guys are the best in the business. As that guy just said it.
Yep,
So
there you go. I heard somebody.
there
So
you go.
let me ask you this question. Reading these characters, and you've kept a little bit of your finger on the pulse overall. And you were, we talked about Thor, and I know you've seen a little bit of like what Thor is, like how he's considered to be one of the best characters in the game right now. Reading these characters, would you say that they are above, below, or pretty much on the curve of power? And are we entering a power creep territory?
A tough question.
It is. Especially because you really haven't had a chance to dive into the game as much, I think is why it's also an additionally tough question.
So I mean, just my opinion, which doesn't mean much because, like we've said, I haven't actually played the game, so this is just based on like theory more than anything. I do think Ronan, I would put him above the power curve, just because that judgment. I mean, he's only a four threat character, but I mean, for the four threat, you get pretty good stats, and the energy defense and the magic defense. Like you said, you don't really see that in many characters, or if any, before this. So I think overall I would place Ronan above the curve. Drax, he's got really good abilities for I mean, just that Driven by Vengeance tacked on to Titan Killer. Whew. So I'm gonna say situationally Drax will fluctuate a little bit on the curve.
Okay. That's an interesting take. For me, I'd say Ronan is upper echelon four threat character. He's probably still within the power curve to me because I think that unlike other characters where they have a strength of physical defense, right? Ronan, you want to attack with physical attacks. So therein lies his balance. Now, granted, you're going to pop off an accuser, but that's just something that you have to deal with, I think, and be prepared for. You know what I mean? Because if you sit there and you don't do anything to Ronan, well, then he just banks up that power and just passes judgment on everybody. But Drax, I think he's right on line with other three threat characters. So like a Valkyrie, like a Zemo, that these kind of characters that we've seen pop up recently, the new Black Widow. I haven't played with her, obviously, but just reading her card and everything, like I think that Drax kind of fits in with those characters in terms of on the curve. And then like we said with Black Dwarf, I think he's right on it as well. But Ronan's the one where it's like I think that the word power creep is not accurate, but I also think that he is going to be a strong four threat character. But that brings up my next question is affiliations, because I see him being a guardian just to count towards the affiliation, not so much that he's going to maximize the winging it tokens. but I actually see him really good in Cabal. And again, Avengers, because getting the discount to be able to pass out the judgment for one, I mean, you'd do that every turn.
Yeah.
So,
I think... you spend the extra threat to give him the power gem.
Yeah. And then, I mean, at that point, you have to look at it like, what am I losing to give him that gem? And at that point, you're trading in affiliation Thor for an out of affiliation Ronin. And I don't know if I like that trade, but it's interesting. And I think that putting a Ronin in Avengers, again, it's like we talked about with Black Dwarf, is you're losing a Vision. You're losing a Captain Marvel. You're losing a Black Panther, unless you're playing some super high threat thing. And then it becomes an interesting discussion. But in the Wakanda herbs and gamma waves, in the origin bombs and whatever other extraction, let's say spider infected, 17 threat. I mean, putting Ronin in an Avengers list becomes difficult. Same thing with Cabal, but I think that those are the two places where he is going to shine because of the discount, one, and also because of the bonus that the Cabal gives you.
I gotcha.
So, what do you think?
No, I agree with you. Like, the only thing with Guardians, you get those rerolls with the winging it, so you got extra chances to get those wilds. So, there's that, but like you said, getting that discount on Judgment with the Avengers affiliation, I think that could work, but as you said, you're going to have to lose somebody to make that work.
Exactly. So, anyways, final thoughts on Ronin.
My final thoughts are the same as my first thoughts. I need this character.
Yeah, he looks pretty awesome. I gotta say, I'm very excited to get him and the rest of the Guardians and the rest of these characters on the table because they look very exciting. And with that, I think, Matt, that about wraps us up. So before we go away, I just want to remind everyone that we still have a discount code at Blacksite Studio, 15% off your individual items over there. So if you fill your cart with individual items, if you put in our discount code of HOUSEPARTY15, you will get 15% off that order. If you put in a bundle, it'll just be whatever the bundle price is. So remember that. But they make some really great terrain. It's all pre-painted stuff over there. They've recently started doing STL files, which I think is really cool. So if you have a 3D printer, you can get some of their stuff. And we have a War Colors code that I don't think it's a discount code, but hey, you know, it's War Colors. They make great paint. So check that out. It's in the description to this podcast. Make sure, guys, that you are liking this podcast, subscribing to this podcast, and leaving us a review if you're able. And we know we like Facebook reviews, Google reviews. iTunes reviews are super helpful because they help us get seen by other people out there looking for podcasts about Marvel Crisis Protocol. Keep interacting with us. Our email address is housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. You can shoot us a message on Facebook at House Party Protocol Podcast. I love talking to you guys over there. Matt likes talking with you guys over there whenever he's around. I know Greg does too. So please interact with us. I love the conversation. It's a lot of fun to get to chit-chat with y'all. And make sure you keep commenting on our posts. And we'll keep reacting and having a good time over there. And yeah. Party on,
awesome.
Wayne.
Party on.